Blog Talk Radio.
Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Hope this beat got your head nodding. It's Nod Your Head Wednesday. You checking for hip-hop or checking for R&B? Nod Your Head Wednesday got the fix you need. No matter the genre, they play the latest and the greatest display. Showing love to all the independents. Middle finger to industry declaring independence. Word to the prodigal son, logical one. Bringing dope in the views, honest reviews. Art from your amber, always keep the fellas tone. Helping us understand a real woman's point of view. Word to the people, intelligent rhetoric. They keep us in the loop of what's current in the news. Wednesdays at 7, tune in and relax. If you ain't in the crib, tune from the app. 6, stay locked on the Wednesday night. Set up Warzel 1, it's time to go live.
Started at the bottom, now we on top. Haters act foul, but I can see him on the fly. Got the means, got the guap, got the loot, got the watch. So much cheddar in my pocket, got my jeans about to pop. Battling all day, though the flow don't stop. Logical One, airwaves on lock. We lead the competition, sitting in the grave plot. And if you disagree, we'll leave you in the same spot, fool.
Yo, here we are. Nod Your Head Wednesdays. We're back. See, Red Child is on the line. We're waiting on Miss Amber to slide on through here. What's going on, Red?
What's going on? You know, I got my medicine. I got my drink ready to go.
You got your medicine and your drink, huh?
Yeah. I'm feeling well. See?
Yeah, apparently it's not working well for you there, I see.
Yeah, I want to say that comment you made about Chris Cross, man, inside your... Yeah, so I'm going to kick his...
Chris Cross will make you jump.
Well,
that was good.
You made me roll. That was funny. I owe you one.
I know. All you got to do is look at the pictures that I posted up there.
Boy, I said, ooh.
That little Eric B. and Rakim part, my mother got up in there, man. I got this big-ass Eric B. and Rakim part going in my ear, man. Look over there looking like Rakim, talking about some follow the leader.
You guys say we call them driveway parts. That's a driveway
right,
part.
You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, here we are, another Wednesday, and we chilling today. We hopefully... We'll have special ed, and another special guest will probably make a call. We might have Master Ace Breeze through here. You know, he missed the celebratory anniversary last week, the anniversary. You know, we had a week of anniversary for the D-Hour show, and I want to give a big shout-out to my man D, because he's doing big things out there, you know, in AZ, trying to put this show together, man. This cat, man, he working hard, man, to get it out there, man. So when you come listen to this show, man, listen to the show and enjoy it, because, you know, it's others out there, but, you know, they ain't going to be as good as these.
Yeah. Oh. Well, this is where you need to be. Right here.
Right.
Just keep it hot, keep it locked. You on the spot. We in the place to be.
That's what you place
know,
to
I had
be.
It like that.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, you making me jump.
Uh-oh. I do have my shirt on backwards. Wait, hold on.
Here we go. What Amber, man? Why she always late to the party, man? What's going on, man? She doing some hair today?
That's called making an entrance. You might be whipping up a hairdo.
Yeah.
You know how she does it.
Well, last week we had an invigorate. Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say? Pop it in.
I'm going to see where you're going to go.
We had a good conversation last week. We had a woman hailing from New York. I think she was from Brooklyn. I think it was Brooklyn. And she was hooking us up, man, with some insight, man, because we were clowning. But, she didn't agree with the topic we were talking about Kobe and his old lady hooking back up and everything. You know, I'm inclined to go with Jay-Z, men lie, women lie. It is what it is. Right. You know, people going to do what they do. And, you know, we had a nice little politically correct debate about, you know, women and men and, you know, the the treatment that we give each other as far as, like, you know, trying to be together and make shit happen. And, you know, what happens is we tend to, you know, step out and, you know, do our, you know, things that aren't supposed to be done in marriage and everything. And, you know, I think it's even on both sides. You know, men are dogs and women are dogs, you know. Both equally enjoy the art of intercourse, and, you know, if stuff don't work out, you seek other, you know, things. But, you know, we had the debate in regards to maybe you shouldn't be married if that's what you want to do. You know, you need to get maturity about yourself and accept the fact that when you sit up there in front of the pastor, deacon, or whoever, you know, is officiating the marriage and everything, you know, you need to get up there and respect that, man. As a male, yes, my eye does wander. I do not lie. My eye does wander.
But it ain't the looking that gets you caught up, though. You got two eyes, but they made the seats. You can look. That's not the problem. You know, some people take it upon themselves and do a little bit more, and it's like, throw that piece of paper out the window. But a piece of paper in the ring ain't going to stop, you know, somebody doing what they want to do. So it's like, you kind of want to be where you at.
A ring, it's supposed to, I mean, it's supposed to be a commitment, you know, to the marriage and everything. When, you know, you both making those vows and you sliding them rings on each other's fingers and stuff like that, and, you know, you sitting over there and you're making your own little, you know, sayings to each other, to, you know, you both lying to each other, you know, if you can't hold fast. Mm-hmm. And that's all I was trying to state, you know, was that, you know, yeah, you know, people going to cheat, and both are, you know, at fault for, you know, whatever infidelity that goes on. You know, if the guy goes out and does what he does, then he shouldn't be married, man. If you can't keep your stuff in your past, man, and you still want to go out, then you shouldn't be trying to, you know, keep this woman that you're trying to, you know, get married to. You shouldn't be lying to her and keeping her, you know, in the dark like that, man, because that's the time she wasting and time you wasting, man, you know. And I ain't no sucker, man. You know, I know cats are like, oh, this dude, man, he over here preaching to the choir, man, this dude's a sucker. No, I used to be a dog, man, but I wasn't trying to get married. I'm not, you know, that's real talk. I wasn't trying to get married.
Right.
You know, I was doing my thing, and, you know, I got mine, and hopefully she got hers, and on to the next. I keep them 100. You know, that's what's up. You know, and females, you know, we had this classification of females that go out there and do their things and hoes. And I'm just like, this shit, we hoes too. You know, I ain't going to sit over here and judge no woman, man. You know, as long as I'm strapped up, she can do what she wants to do. I ain't going to kiss her because you never know what she's doing. But, you know, it is what it is, Pepper. You know, you're going to do what you're going to do. But that's neither here nor there. You know, like I said, we had that discussion and everything, and I hope Celia, you know, slide on in here. She wanted to talk about the black family. We'll probably get that in this evening, too. What I really want to talk about, TSA announcement, topic of the day, about last week sometime, man, an incident happened in New York. Chris Brown, Meek Mill, and Drake were at a club. And, you know, previously these cats were going in on Rihanna and, you know, talking about how they passed her around on Twitter and everything. I got to tell you, man, Twitter, the social network, man, it's a bunch of ignorant-ass fools on the social network, man. Because some of the stuff y'all do, man, it's like ridiculous, man. You know, y'all spent all this time trying to craft your skill, trying to get out here, man, and be famous, be somebody, be in the limelight. You know, you did all of this and you going out there acting and perpetuating the black stereotype that we are ignorant. And I'm, you know, like I said, I ain't gonna sit over here and point for, hey, don't do that. You know, on some old Sambo, you know, type stuff, man. But I mean, let's just think about it, okay? Here you got a brother, Drake. Now I understand Drake, he's a sensitive dude. I mean, I don't know him personally, but his actions come off sensitive.
Make it seem like, right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't know this dude personally, but you are an R&B singer. You're a rapper, and you're an R&B singer. Now, dude, you're an actor as well. Uh-huh. I've seen some of your stuff on YouTube, and I mean, dude, you ain't about that life, man. This is not the life you about, man. You are like the black Justin Bieber. And I ain't even going to say you soft like that. You ain't that soft, man. But you a sensitive dude, man. You ain't no thug, man. I done seen the bodyguards you roll with. ain't never seen you fight. I ain't never heard about you fight. You know what I'm saying? He got Big Swole in him with him, man. And, you know, you and Breezy and Meek Mill, man, y'all hanging at this club, man. And instead of enjoying yourself, reaping the benefits of your art and your craft, man, and you're out there, you're doing your thing, man, you know, rubbing elbows with your fans and stuff like that. You idiots are out there perpetuating the black stereotype that all rappers are ignorant, and now you're doing the same. You're getting ready to kick it off with R&B singers, man. All of y'all got bird chests, man. Y'all ain't busting no brakes, man. And if you are out there fighting, I don't know why, because y'all need to be out here making your money, man. It's just that easy, man, for them to shut you down, man. I mean, let's be realistic, man.
They'd be mad at them when their money gone.
It's what it is, man. A jail cell, it can be just as convenient for a celebrity. If you don't believe me, ask Wesley Snipes. You know, ask for these other celebrities that's been locked up, you know. A jail cell can be just as convenient for you as a regular Joe. Me, you, whoever. It could be that just convenient, man. And instead of going out here living your life, man, making your music, man, and doing what you proclaim that you love, you niggas up in here arguing about who boned Rihanna. Y'all tossing bottles, allegedly tossing bottles. But, I mean, come on, man. The fight started between some he say, she say, a note, whatever the case, but that's soft, man. Why are y'all in there doing soft stuff, man, and doing this? And then y'all hitting one of you, I think it was Chris Brown's security guard, man, or whatever, his security. You know, they damn near scalped that cat, man. His head looked jacked up. He had to get stitches behind that because of, the ignorance that y'all did at this club. Not only on top of that, man, y'all hit some patrons and everything. And there's speculation that the patrons was in there throwing bottles, too. And you know how, folks get, man, he throwing bottles, man. Somebody hit me, I'm throwing bottles, too. You know, we had that same exact type in there go down at E3 in Chicago. You know, two females beefing about some dude over some, whatever. And they get into a fight. Somebody sits in there, sprays pepper spray, and everybody's rushing to the door. And we lost some people. And that shit was on the news, man. You see a bunch of black folks jam-packed in the damn door. That don't make no damn sense. I'm not making this up, man. It was black folks jammed up in the door. No joke. And a lot of people died behind that. You know, here you got a chick, man. She all the way from Australia, man. And she caught a bad one with a bottle, man, you know. A few more people are stepping up, about the injuries that they received from this, ignorance, man. I mean, it's sad, man. You know, all you got to do, and this goes out to any up-and-coming artist, man, that's coming out there. If you thug, man, stay out there and sell the drugs, man, because this ain't for you, man. I understand that's what's going down, man. We had NWA. Them niggas was real, you know. Eazy, as far as I know, allegedly sold dope. Couple of them other cats sold dope. They did what they had to do to get their studio. Y'all, man, I mean, I don't know what Drake did. I know he's an actor. I don't know what Meek Mill did. I know he's an MC. I don't know what Chris Brown did. I don't know them cats, man. But to look at them and see the foolishness, man, I mean, okay, so y'all bag Rihanna. So what? So what? Y'all bag 100 different females. I ain't gonna pat him on the back like that. I know y'all boning, though. That's all I'm saying. I know y'all boning. But at the same time, y'all sitting over here looking like half a fag, man. Let's be for real, man. Y'all out here straight clowning, man. And then y'all got the club closed and the kilt nightlife in New York behind it. You can't drink. So now y'all got to drink out of Dixie cups now, man. I mean, for real, they do that here. They give you a little plastic cup. Now you ain't having no bottle service no more, man, because y'all can't act right. And it's sad, man. It's sad. All you got
to
do
is what you mean, Miss VIP?
Right. You know what I'm saying? You out here with your little Dixie cup, man, sipping your, you could have, some clubs out here in the shot, I've seen that, where they've taken the glasses away from us and give us Dixie cup, and they still going to charge you that price.
Mm-hmm.
They still gonna charge you that price. It's sad, man. It kills me, man, to see our black entertainers, man, wilding like this. And I mean, I wish I could say, you know, it was white entertainers as well, but at the same time, you don't hear about them like you hear about us, you know. But look, I see we got a caller. Let me go on to this caller right quick. Nice to hear radio. Who's calling?
Yeah, what's good? This is Special Ed.
What's up, man? How you feeling, man? We got my man Special Ed, legendary MC, Crippling Dodger himself. What's going on, man? How you feeling?
Everything good, man. Just, you know, winding down, taking it easy.
Chilling. Now, I know you don't remember me, man. I met you about 2 years ago, man. I actually did an interview with you, man, out in Chicago at Adriana's Club, man. You and Chubb Rock was there, man.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Adriana,
yeah,
I remember that.
I kicked it up with you, man. What happened last week, man? What happened, man? You was messing with a female.
Nah. What happened was I don't really always pay attention to social networking. You know what I'm saying? That's just a thing I check when I check. But there was some talk about a Thursday, and then there was some talk about a Wednesday. So it was a little confusing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Y'all got to make up your mind. It's going to be Thursday or it's going to be Wednesday.
Okay, I'm going to blame that. I'm going to blame that one on the miscommunication by the program director, D-Plate, and we're going to leave it at that.
Okay, so it's D-fault. It's your fault, D. Come on, man.
We're going to leave it on D. But, yeah, man, it's good to hear from you, man. It's good to hear from you. What's going down with Special Ed, man? What's the latest going on with you, man?
Well, man, I'm working like a workhorse out here, man. I'm doing it all. I'm on the Pro Tools. I'm doing events. I'm traveling, doing shows. I'm doing speaking engagements. I'm kind of basically pretty much everywhere. You know, my birthday just passed in May, so I was on a worldwide birthday tour. I just celebrated my 40th. So basically, yeah, man, I can't even believe it. I can't believe it. I'm like, hold up. It was just yesterday I was 15.
Right.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for real. So, you know, just facing that and going on and recording. I got an album. You know, I've been recording for a while, but I kind of got off track and started doing some other business ventures and got off track of idealistically what Special Ed is primarily. You know, so I'm just getting back to those roots right now and putting down the vocals and mixing these songs. You know, so I just got the MacBook popping with the whole Waves bundle and the Pro Tools HD and all that, and I've been on that hard. And I got a weekly event that I do out here in Charlotte. It's called the Old School Special Edition. We call it OSSE. So basically what OSSE is just a good old school party. And I've been bringing down guests, hosts, to come and chill with me and party with the people. Really, this is like an opportunity for the people that grew up on these artists to get the opportunity to party with them in a party setting and just to have fun pretty much.
And that's how you should come. That's how correct you should come right there. Now, me and the ladies, we was just sitting over here, you know, talking about this Chris Brown, Drake, and Meek Mill debacle, man, that happened up there in New York.
Yeah.
And you pretty much, you know, said how the club scene should be about, man. It's about having fun, man.
Oh, yeah, it's about having fun and partying, man. Like, when we party, it's like a, you know, it's like, they say ain't no party like an old school party. That's the truth, because we come in there for the fun of it. We don't come in there for how much bottles you pop or, you know, the amount of women you got around you. We come in there for a party. We dance. We actually dance. You know, we actually have fun on the mic, engage the crowd. You know, so far I brought Chubb Rock to a party, Dana Dane party with me, DJ Red Alert DJed. I had Big Daddy Kane come down, Kid Capri DJed for me. Biz Markie came and DJed for my birthday. You know, this week they have a Sweet Tea coming, so it's just excuse me, hold on. I apologize. Not Sweet Tea, Spinderella.
Okay.
You know, Spinderella, she's coming to DJ. Just thinking about all the great people that I had the opportunity to work with and get down with and do shows with, And, you know, that's what it is. But basically, that's what I do. So I bring those type of parties to wherever they want it. So right now that I live in Charlotte, I decided to start doing that because I've been out here about 4 years. And pretty much, man, I haven't really been out much. I haven't found anywhere that I wanted to kind of go out and party to because of the club scene out here. It's real radio driven, and it's real, you know, it's real just the same thing you hear on the radio all day. So I decided to do something a little different. So that's what I do with the old school special. Yeah, and we getting ready to bring that, you know what I'm saying, up north a little bit into some different markets that want it. So that's a good look. And besides that, I'm still, like, doing shows on the regular, you know, with all my old school counterparts, you know, all my people that most of the people I just mentioned, and, you know, the Slick Ricks, the Dougie Fresh, Houdini, et cetera, et cetera. So we do all of that. And in between time, we have, you know, other major events that I do. Like I just did the Funk Fest and had the honor of performing on a lineup with Erykah Badu and the SOS band, one of my favorites of all time, Raheem Devon. So that, you know, it's a little difference in the things that I do.
So.
Yeah, and then I also did one with Charlie Parker and New Edition.
You telling your age, man, when you said
the
SOS with Charlie Parker.
Hold up, did I say Parker? No, wait, Charlie, Uncle Charlie Wilson. I'm bugging.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm like, hey, you got Chris Brother over there.
Charlie Wilson, man, my bad. My mind just, you know what, I'm not really a name game kind of dude. So, you know, when it comes to the names, sometimes I got to really think. But, New Edition, that was a highlight for me, you know, just to be able to perform on a show with them. You know, that's one of my groups growing up when I was in junior high school and such, that, you know, all the girls had the little buttons and, you know, you either like Ralph or you like Bobby or whatever, you know. So those have been my boys, like, throughout the years, but I've never had the opportunity to work with them. And that, for me, was an honor.
Yeah, it's real good to see those type of shows kicking off, man, the old school sets and everything.
Oh, yeah, so we still actively, you know, tour and do shows, and I still do that sort of thing. And then there's other shows that I do that kind of mix it up, like radio station joints, where I did a show with, like, 2 weeks ago in Richmond at the... See, that's the name game again. It's like the Soul Something Picnic, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was with Radio 1 anyway. So either way, they had the VIC, the Wobble Kid, was on the show. And then, you know, he's a very humble and respectful individual. And I like to see that because not a lot of these artists that come out now are as respectful to the game, much less the artists that came before them. And, you know, they also had the little dude, Cash Out, whatever his name is. He was on the show. And, you know, a lot of the younger acts, so it ranged. And then in the same token, they had George Clinton, the P-Funketeer. He was on the same bill. So for me, I like shows like that kind of cross the timelines. And you get all kind of crowds from the old to the new. And, you know, that gives the young kids a chance to see how we rock, how we get down. And, you know, yeah. So it's a good look, man. I like doing stuff like that, not just always the old school alone, because, you know, it's important for the younger generation to see how we perform, how we conduct ourselves, and, you know, just the level of performance that we give. You know, it's a learning lesson for everybody. You know,
right.
So I like doing stuff like that too. And you know, I do all kind of stuff, man. I speak at colleges. You know, I sit on panels and, you know, do discussions based on the topics that they choose. You know what I mean? And that's interesting for me a lot because a lot of the college kids, once again, it crosses the age barriers, and they get to hear from us directly. They may get to learn a thing or two. Mm-hmm. You know, so I enjoy doing that as well. I've spoken at quite a few colleges this year, and it's something that I also enjoy doing because they have the Q&As. It's an open discussion, and, you know, I get to see what the kids are interested in knowing and what right. what's on their minds, you know what I mean? So I like to engage people and see what it is their concerns are.
Okay. Would you think you would do, like, reality television or go back, you know, something on TV or film?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. The film and TV at the time, the things that I did were pretty much kind of laid out for me. I wasn't really into the going to the readings and competing with 30 other actors in the same room for the same part. That kind of turned me off because at the end of the day, I said, look, I'm special ed. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I rap. Mm-hmm. I do what I do well for my crowd. So for me to compete with these dudes for a part, you know, it didn't sit well with me. I was just like, eh. At the end of the day, a lot of my peers have done well with it. I mean, you look at Will Smith and LL Cool J and Queen Latifah, Ice Cube. They've all went on to become millionaires in film and television alone, aside from their rap careers. So it is very lucrative, and they receive us well as far as us meaning the rap entertainers. I think we're well received in the industry. And there's a lot more. That's just a few of my immediate direct peers that I came up in the game with. So I look at that, and, you know, I kind of say, like, congratulations, because when they're successful, I feel like I'm successful. I feel like I'm right along with them, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, that's a choice that you have to make, whether or not, you know, you want to go through that game, because that's a whole nother game, you know what I mean? So,
exactly.
I will say that I do have interest in it, and I wouldn't mind doing some things, but once again, it has to be something that's pretty much laid out for me or something that fits into my whole style. You know what I mean? I'm not going to run out there, and I haven't ran out there and did a reading in forever. You know what I mean? But I enjoy the appearances. I enjoy doing stuff with television and film. And I could see myself doing more in the future. As far as reality television, what I would not do is make an asshole out of myself.
Okay.
I will not get on TV, and I will not degrade myself, my family, my culture, my people, or none of that. That I won't do. So if it's going to be something, it has to be something that's going to uplift my culture or my people or myself or my family. It has to be something positive. I'm not saying there can't be comedy involved or it can't be some funny scenarios, but I'm not going to be made to look like a fool, because that's
right.
something I'm definitely not. So, I welcome everything. It just has to be within the lines of what I want to do, because at this point in my life, I'm not about to, you know, I'm not about to do anything less. I'm not going to compromise my integrity or my reputation as a man and as what people look up to me as in this culture. You know, I'm not going to do the song and dance, so to speak, you know. even though I do the song, I don't dance, though. That's one thing I've never really done is dance. So I won't be on Dancing with the Stars.
He said nope.
No Dancing with the Stars.
I'll find you.
No Dancing with the Stars. And I won't be running. I won't be playing no sports.
So let me ask you this, man. Remembering how it was when you got on the scene, man, and looking at today how easy it is now, man, what type of advice would you give these cats, man, out here on, you know, trying to get into the game?
Well, the advice I would give them is to actually learn from the mistakes of others, and not so necessarily the mistakes, but the trials and tribulations that we've went through as artists in this culture, even stemming back before hip hop. You know, you're going into James Brown and Little Richard and, you know, those that have come into the industry early and been taking advantage of all the jazz musicians that basically work for peanuts and went on to be legends and right. don't own anything because they didn't own anything then. So it's just reality and legalities. Learn the legalities of the industry. And also learn the technologies, because that's what is going to be the most lucrative avenues now and in the future, you know, as far as online sales and digital rights and things of that nature. You know, learn about that. Learn about publishing. Just learn, because at the end of the day, if you don't learn, you will learn. Somebody will teach you a lesson you will never forget. So just really be on point with that. Just, you know, don't take it for granted, because it's not promised. Tomorrow's not promised. Your fans are not promised to be fans next year. You know, that changes. That can change with a news report. That can change with a scenario. So definitely learn to respect the game and learn to learn the game so that you can maneuver through it with as few downfalls as possible. Just be careful, you know. And as far as this new age of technology, man, like, you know, you can have a studio with a laptop. You can make songs with a laptop. You can put it online. You can sell it online. I mean, the game is flooded with that right now, so it has gotten away from the core of skill and the level of skill that you have, and has gone more to how much you know about, you know, Reasons or GarageBand or Fruity Loops. It's become a technology game now. So the more you do know about technology is the better chance you do have of succeeding, because the days of, you know, the major label is really kind of gone.
Yeah.
You can see that through, you know, new artists that go on to sell millions of records, like you take a Soulja Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was discovered on, like, MySpace or something. Like, there's other artists, like, I think Cassie was discovered on MySpace. I mean, these social networks are an avenue to be discovered as opposed to shopping. I mean, I don't really know too many people that shop deals, but I think that's one of the things of the past. In addition to that, it's like iTunes is selling everything. You know, iTunes and those digital outlets are selling records now. It's not so much a CD or wax or anything anymore. It's more online. It's global. You can reach the world if you market and promote correctly and do your homework. Every day, you can be successful without the quote-unquote traditional success. You know, I know artists that are independent, are on the grind, and they make a very good living. You may not know them. I may not have knew them if I didn't know them, but the world is out there for you. So you have to be able to reach out and grab it. And know how to. Knowing how to is what's important now. You know, it used to be who you know, and now it is a bit of who you know, but it's what you know. You know, now it is.
Yeah.
Before it used to be strictly who you know, and now it's a whole different game. So, you know, with that in mind, do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now, let me ask you this, too. Go ahead. Who's that?
Question. Coming up in the game, who were some of the artists that inspired you, that you sort of looked up to?
Well, coming up in the game, the artists that inspired me were mostly R&B, you know, that had this, you know, the Stevie Wonder, the Michael Jackson, the Prince, the Gladys Knights, the R&B artists. I grew up, I probably got a Fisher-Price phonograph probably about the age of 7 or 9. I don't really recall, but I played every record I got my hands on. And then came rap and rap music. And in the rap game, I was just in awe of the flow and just riding the beat and the different type of beats. I like the breaks. I like the drums. You know, I like hard music. You know, it's almost like what rock is to a young kid, you know, on the other side. So I like that sound. And I grew up listening to records from, like, the Sugar Hill Gang, you know, Jimmy Spicer, Super Rhymes. I played Super Rhymes at least, you know, 10,000 times. The Wax. So those are the things I listened to. And that was like a 10, 15-minute record. Good Times, which wasn't rap, but Good Times was, I mean, who didn't try to cut up Good Times? And I only had one Fisher Price phonograph, but we tried to cut up Good Times too. And just in rap, though, I like lyrics from, like, Melly Mel. Melly Mel was conscious and realistic. He spoke about real topics affecting, you know, the black community, the things that we go through. You know, The Message was a powerful song for me. That put it all into perspective that, you know, it's not just about, you know, party, hip-hop. It's about being conscious and speaking on it. I was glad somebody spoke on it. You know, the Sugar Hill Gang once again. And then when it became more realistic was with the Run DMC era. Run DMC came out, that kind of broke out into the mainstream crossover, pop, rock, every genre. Yeah. Hip-hop really affected the world.
And, sure did.
Then they, you know, it was more televised. There were more music videos. That was the age of the music video. And they were from Queens. And shoot, we was in Queens all the time. We always went to the mall. A lot of girls lived in Queens. So it was just a hop, skip, and a jump. So it became more real and touchable. And then you had Howie T, who was a local legend who had worked with groups like UTFO and Chubb Rock, Little Sean, and the real Roxanne. And they started an era with that, because when Roxanne came out, that was like, that's when I really was like, this is closer than I think, because Howie T lived down the street. Yeah. A little walk, but still down the street. He actually lived across the street from my cousins. So that's how I was introduced to Howie T and CD3, you know, Count Disco, the whole movement there from Brooklyn. And they made a lot of mixtapes, which in that day was really a real mixtape. You know, they recorded it live in the garage, you know, with a bunch of MCs and DJs cutting. I heard one of the first things I heard that really impressed me was when I heard Howie T remake the beat for the Bubble Bunch on his drum machine. So I'm like, hold up, that's the same exact beat from the Bubble Bunch, and how he recreated it, and it impressed me. And that's when I really paid attention to production and production value, because I'm like, okay, well, they're all using the same machines. You know, who has these machines? Well, what do? And then that's when I was, I grew up around Howie T, but I was a child. When I became 15 years old, enough was enough. I had enough. I needed to get out. I was already, you know, battling in school, in the street, in the hood, and I was already on top of my game as far as I was concerned, as far as my friends was concerned. I was ready, so I asked my cousin to take me to Howie's crib, and she did after a little persistence, because, you know, I was 15 years old. It's like, okay, what are you going to do? Right. So she took me over there, and I showed them what I was going to do, how we looped up Impeach the President, which is one of my all-time favorite drum loops.
Right.
I started spitting forever. And I think that they were definitely impressed by that. And just the style that I had, I was always trying to be different, trying to be original. I was into originality. If I wrote something that sounded like something anybody else said, I scratch it out and do something else. Even a line. Yeah, if I said one line that sounded like somebody else's line, I scratch it out and make a different line just because I wanted to be original. And I think that's one of the things that impressed them the most was the uniqueness of my style at that time. Because now everyone does it.
Yeah, everybody's saying originality really is trendy.
Right. So that's kind of how I was, how I got put on. Because I wouldn't say discovered, because pretty much I had to go out and reach out and grab all the elements together to make myself, you know, to make myself what I am right now. Like, I had to go and basically bang down Howie, his door, to make them listen. I had to go grab a producer. I had a DJ that I went to school with. I had to kind of bring the pieces together. So I was just aggressive as a teen. You know, I was very aggressive, and that's what got me to where I am. And I think I dealt with things in a more mature way as opposed to, you know, kids running up on the street, yo, yo, listen to me rhyme. I wanted it on music. I wanted a producer.
Right.
I wanted things done professionally. So I went about that the professional way, and that's what got me to where I am. It's hard to get somebody to take you seriously, especially at that day and time. You know, I mean, the only thing.
There's a lot more hurdles to jump over back then.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, as a 15-year-old in high school, who's really going to take you seriously? Only time they're going to take you seriously is when you pull out a gun.
Oh.
So basically, I had to weave in. Maneuver myself through this intelligently and effectively enough to, you know, get that record deal. You know, Howie and them knew some managers that were managing the other artists he worked with. So I said, cool, shop the material. You know, we had some interest from another label, but they didn't want to go through the headache of trying to go through the legal procedure to make the contract binding, and Profile Records did. So we went through a whole legal procedure to be able to make it binding at the age of 15. And that's pretty much how I got the deal. And by the time the record came out, it was about a year later when I turned 16, going through all, you know, courts take their time to do what they do. So it was a time-consuming process, but the music spoke for itself. So at the end of the day, you have to have a viable product in order to be successful. Then, you know, at that time, you know, it was really about, yo, your shit had to be hot. If it wasn't hot, well, you know, there was no chance. You know, now you just have to have the right equipment, the right plug-in.
Right.
Right. The right plug-in to make your voice sound wavy and go for it, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
A singer was a singer then.
One-click hit.
Right.
Yeah, it was real vocals. Real vocals, not touch-up
right.
vocals. So when you go to the concert, you're not in shock because
right.
it
really
sound like
sing,
the album.
You know? They really
right.
can't
yeah.
sing.
Well, Sucker Ed, you know, back in the days, you know, a lot of ladies loved you. They thought you was a sex symbol now. You know, you was a PB.
Well, Well, you know, back in the days, I loved a lot of ladies, so
yeah.
You know, I concur.
Right, yeah.
Now, you know,
you were different.
You
were different to the eyes. You were different to the eyes on the scene, you know. You were just something different.
Yeah, you know, that just happened to be a coincidence because, you know, no, really, because really and truly, I was an artist first. I was about the music. Like, I wrote everything I've ever said. I've never had a writer. I've never had, you know, no one come in and teach me how to do what I do. I learned it doing it. I've learned it by proving myself on the street, you know, in my community in Brooklyn.
Okay.
School to school. We went, like, to other schools and battle. We went in other hoods and battle. Like, it wasn't really an outlet other than just proving yourself on the street. I couldn't go to radio stations and try to get anything played. You know, it was just kids on the street. So after I got my level of skill to that point, that's when, you know, I started recording professionally and got those records out. But it was never a gimmick. It was a coincidence.
Right.
It was
okay.
Just a coincidence that, you know, I was me. And, you know, it was acceptable. Hey.
Okay.
You know, so that was what the reality was. And I appreciated it. I loved it. Yay. I still love it. I love life. I love life right now.
I heard
so,
that.
Yeah, so I'm still happy with the outcome. You know, I don't give myself titles. But, you know, other people do, and I accept them humbly. And I'm just glad that I had the opportunity to be in the right places at the right time. And that's because I had to put myself in the right places at the right time. You know, I had to strategically place myself where I needed to be and in those scenarios.
Okay.
So,
you seem like you're very, very positive and very level-headed, and I think that the upcoming rappers can learn a lot from you because I can tell that you're humble, and I can tell that you're speaking from a lot of experience. You have knowledge.
Well, I was always a serious thinker, you know, and I'm from Brooklyn, New York, so. On that level, you walk around, you know, claiming this and claiming that and thinking this and don't know how to handle yourself, find yourself in some problems. So really, I'm just I'm street smart and I consider myself, you know, just smart in general. I pick up on things. I study, I analyze things. I think before I speak. You know, that's something some people just don't do.
No, they don't. They don't.
They don't get it.
Filter.
You can't, right. You have to have a filter. You can't do and say anything you want at any time because that will get your ass kicked. That will get you in jail. That will get you killed.
Look,
you have to be very realistic about life and respect
and
for life.
Yeah,
and
respect
people.
For life and people. Definitely people. People.
Mm-hmm.
So how is the transition then from being you from Brooklyn?
Let me interrupt
you're now
for
in the
second.
South. Oh, go ahead.
We got another Brooklyn Dodger alumni on the phone. We got my man Master Ace in the building.
What's going on?
Peace, Ace. What's good?
What up, Ed?
Yeah. Peace, Ace. Everything is good in the hood. And that's another thing. That's another man that, you know, y'all really need to honor, period, because Ace was another youngin' in the game, probably one of the youngest in the game at the time, too. And he laid it down. He put it down with the Juice Crew and on his own. And in his own right, you know, Ace is a legend as well that needs to be honored and respected in this game, you know?
Awesome.
Appreciate that.
Ace. Yeah, no doubt.
And for those listening, go get that Son of Yvonne joint, that whole album. You can listen to it all the way through. I ain't stopped listening to it since I got it. So go cop that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Appreciate that.
Especially Slow Down. That's my joint. That's my repeat joint right there.
Yeah.
That's my repeat joint. So what's going on with you, Ace, man? How you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. I just, just got back from a nice little tour in May out in Europe, and now I'm back at the crib and living the family life right now.
Okay.
Did
that Juice Crew reunion ever go down over in Europe, man? Well, everybody was supposed to get back together, and that didn't come through.
No, it didn't happen, man. It's too many moving parts, man. Too many different characters and personalities. Everybody's got different, ways of doing business. And the organizers was in over their head. There was no way that they were going to be able to, pull together. You're talking about 6 to 7 artists with their different individual entourages and whatever, and it just got real complicated. As far as I know, Kane and Biz went over today. They went to do a run, just the two of them. But the original lineup was supposed to be Kane, Biz, Shan, Craig G, Roxanne, Shantae, and myself, and Marley Marl. But it didn't work out.
Yeah, I know early stages of it, I was, looking at the beef, well, I won't say beef, but the disagreement between Shan and Marley Marl of production credits and stuff like that. So I kind of saw that not going well at all, what they was doing that now.
Yeah, I mean, that was unfortunate to see it get to that level of, insults and dudes just kind of going at each other. But it's one of those things where dudes haven't seen each other for a real long time. And it was, I guess Shan got a lot of heat from the fans asking him why he wasn't on the symphony, because I guess I told that story of how, Shan choosing not to be on that record opened up the door for me to be on the record. So I guess he had gotten that question so many times that he wanted to somehow try to explain, why it was that it went down the way it went down.
Right. Yeah, that's deep. Now let's talk about your new album, man. I actually got a chance to listen to it all the way through, and it's very dope, man. I mean, it's rare that I can listen to something all the way through without hitting, the next button, to go over, man. And I mean, the joint you did with Doom on there, I wasn't even expecting him to be on that. I heard the instrumentals and everything. Everybody got the little spices and herbs joint.
Right.
Well, some people, but it's a tight album, man. It's a really tight album.
I mean, yeah, after he heard the whole album, I played it for him last August, and I played him every song. And after he heard the whole album, he said that he would definitely be down to jump on a song. And it took a while, but we got it. We got it.
Now that was that joint with you, Big Daddy, and him on it, right? That was the only
exactly.
one he was on.
Yeah, it's called Think I Am.
That's what's up.
Just a little ramen joint, dudes just ramen.
Hey, that's tough. Man, do you think we'll ever get another Crooklyn Dodgers, man, with y'all, man? Both of you guys together just get a special ed, an Ace collab going on?
Well, I'm always down. This is Ed. I'm always down for whatever, because at the end of the day, this all came from an idea. It all came from a thought. So if we can put some thoughts together and make some more things happen, I'm with it. You know what I'm saying? I really don't have any anything stopping me. I'm good. And I'm sure Ace is, I pretty much know from Ace's aura and his vibe that he's the type of dude that's on that same page. It's just a matter of, everyone being on that page. And I know Buck is cool. I think at this point in our lives and careers, we would like to do what's going to be best for it all, for the culture.
Yeah.
So I'm with that, and I know I got a call from Chub Rock, and Chub Rock was discussing the same thing with me about 3 days ago. So I'm kind of glad y'all got Ace on the line too, just so I know he's here and he's around, and Ace holler at me,
yeah,
so we could chop it up. You know what I'm saying? When you're done doing this.
What people don't know is that there was an offer from MCA back after we did the first Crooklyn Dodger record. There was an offer on the table to do an entire album that would have been produced by Q-Tip and Ali Shaheed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all three of us weren't in the same place with doing it, so it didn't happen.
And honestly, I wasn't aware that there was an offer on the table. I thought it was more of just an idea, and no one ever really came to me with any details. So, shoot, if I had some more detail, I may have been pushing a little harder. But when you don't hear nothing about, you know, any detail or statistically, if nobody says, yo, this is what we got for you, let's do it, or this is what's on the table, let's do it, I don't know. But I'm the type of dude, like, I'm always willing to rock. Like, that's how I got on it in the first place. It wasn't even really a dollar amount that got me on the record. It was the opportunity to get on the record.
Same with me.
And so that's how I operate, not really from a money-driven perspective, but from an opportunity to make history. And when I saw the opportunity to make history, I jumped on it. That's how I am. I think when you do something like that, it will create success and then money will come. So that's kind of how I operate. So had I known that, we could have done that a long time ago.
Well,
what's stopping you from doing it now? I would love to see something like that. I'm sure a lot of the hardcore fans would love to see that.
Right. Well, I don't think there's anything stopping us right now other than communication. We need to all communicate with each other clearly and have an understanding, because this is the first time, like, I'm speaking to Ace in a minute. You know what I'm saying? You know, Ace been on the road. I've been on the road. We both work. We both got families and kids. So at the end of the day, you know, that's what we do. But, like I said, Chubb just called me like 3 days ago, and we had a very serious conversation about that and bringing in, you know, Primo, who, you know, produced a second joint, and getting the artists together and getting other producers and artists from Brooklyn, and not just the original crew, but more of a general scope of Brooklyn, you know, and the Crooklyn Dodger project. Because, you know, the other record was successful as well, that they did the second joint. And, you know, I respect and love those artists as well. So for me to, you know, make history once again with all of them is a win-win. So at the end of the day, me and Ace going to be talking some more.
Yeah, I think you would need one kind of key person, producer, organizer, to pull all of that together, because you're talking about, you know, several different artists.
Right.
Everybody's
got
different schedules and all that. It's tricky. I mean, I just did a collaboration record with Ed OG a couple years ago.
Right.
And, it was just me and him. But, you know, you start talking about, you know, different tastes and beats, different tastes in terms of, like, song development and choruses. I mean, there's a lot of things to kind of work out on the creative side before you actually
get
to a record,
finished product, right?
Yeah, and now you're talking about between three and maybe six artists.
Yep.
Now all trying to figure all of that out.
Exactly. So that's really going to be a combined effort between a lot of individuals, and sometimes not all these individuals speak for themselves. So when you got to go through people. And I think that may have been kind of the case with, you know, the Juice Crew situation. It's just kind of like another scenario where you have to deal with a group of artists, and then they have their representation, their entourage, et cetera, who they prefer to work with, things like that. But me, I'm pretty easygoing, you know. Shoot me some tracks.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's, you know. The track thing is what's going down, but the technical aspect of it is like everybody you know, if you got to get that paper right. But like I say, the fans, myself as a fan, like I say, I hold no bones behind that, man. I grew up, you know, listening to both albums. Matter of fact, you know, I got you to sign two of them joints, you know, when you was out here in Chicago, man. So, you know, I'm a step fan, but, man, I would love to, you know, be the starting point for this whole process, man, just to get going, man, so I could have the right. Hey, man, they was on the show when they was chopping it up there about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it has been brought to our attention more than once, I'm sure, with you too as well, Ace. And like I said, we just finished discussing that. I think there is a few people on board already. It's just a matter of communication with all the other parties involved. But well, I think that's a great idea. Me, personally, I think it's a great idea.
I second that one, man. I mean, it could happen. You know, you just got to get the, you know, the technical stuff afterwards.
Yeah,
the contract,
it's a lot of phone calling and a lot of emailing.
Spike Lee was actually the person who was originally trying to do the whole album. And, you know, he had a little, some kind of little deal with MCA, and they did the soundtrack, I guess. And it was already in place. Like, he was looking at it as a way to maybe launch some type of a label thing that he had going on. And, you know, I was with it 110%.
Mm-hmm.
And it just never got, you know, to that point. Because I think at that time, Duck Down was in the middle of doing their deal with Priority. So they was real caught up with, you know, paperwork dealing with that. And I think they were just, they felt like Buck was too busy to get involved in that at that time.
Right.
So it was kind of one of those
opportunities.
So you know
what,
too?
Don't mean to cut you off, but I didn't get the full story on that. And I think one of the reasons being was because of all the things that I was going through on Profile. You know, at that time,
yeah,
I was going through some legal turmoil. I was going through, like, shelving and freeze, contracts being frozen, and all kind of craziness, litigation. So it's quite possible I couldn't even wrap my head around that at that time, enough to even pay attention to what somebody was saying because of the things that I was going through personally on Profile Records.
Right.
You know, and I also had another project that we was in the middle of pretty much arguing about. So I could see how, you know, everybody has to be, you know, kind of at peace in order to even digest certain things. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, they may have never even got to the point of talking to you about it because of the response they got from Duck Down.
Once it
sounded like that was a no-go, they just kind of fell back from the whole concept and just said, all right, I guess this ain't going to work. It's going to get too complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's how it is, man. You know, not everybody is the same, and not everyone can, you know, do what they want when they want.
Yep.
If you guys thought along the lines of possibly, well, I'm sure, you know, of a mixtape thing, because that seems like what the thing is nowadays. Like everybody drops a mixed CD, MP3, whatever, out, you know, and they freestyle it or whatever on some beats, you know.
Well, I'm gonna speak for me, but I'm pretty sure at this point, if we're going to do something like that, we're going to want to make some money out of it.
Right.
Whether it's not about being upfront money, and it's not about, you know, how much you got and that sort of thing. We want to be able to put it together and be able to sell it and eventually make some money if it's not upfront. You know what I mean? I don't mind not having a upfront budget to do this and do that, because at this day and age, you know, that's, you got to pretty much have it done before you can really get the attention you want. But I think we need something viable that we can sell. You know, just like you want that product and you're looking for a Crooklyn Dodgers album, we want you to look for it when we do it. And we want you to buy it.
I believe it will sell, man, because, I mean, it's just like right now, man. I recently went out and got OC and Apollo's joint, man, and I was just like, wow. You know, that was hot. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's a market out there for it, even if it ain't black kids at the shows anymore like it used to be. You know, it's still a market out there for it, man. People will buy that joint. To have all you guys on there doing what you do, man, and just dropping lyrics on there, man, and you know, it's party and bullshit at the end of the day, but I mean, it's still some lyrics, man, and it's still, if you got Primo and Tip, you know, doing it, you know, the production or whoever, you know what I'm saying, this is a legendary crew, you know, kicking it back together, man, so I would love to see that piece together. We got my
man
D on the line.
Yeah, I would love to, too. I would love to see it, too. I'm you know, I'm right there with you. Because I'm also a fan of the music. I'm a fan of the culture. So at the end of the day, that's making history again. So anytime I get the opportunity, I'm more interested in making history, you know what I'm saying, than the quick buck. Because I can always make some money. But making history is definitely what's going to bring money. You know?
All money.
Right, right.
So is anybody... checked out the new Ice-T documentary, The Art of Rap. What are your thoughts about that? If you have, check it out.
I haven't seen it yet.
No, I haven't seen it yet either. Ice did reach out to me in the beginning stages, and actually he wanted to shoot me, but I was leaving New York at the time, and the people were on the way to come, like the film crew were getting ready to set up and start shooting the next week. So it was like I was there hanging out, you know, with Ice, and he told me all about it, and I was like, yeah, okay, what's up? Well, the crew's coming in next week type of thing. So I'm like, shit, I ain't going to be here. So it was a kind of situation where you just missed the boat, you know. Yeah. But I'm sure he represented, and I'm sure that he did it from a perspective that we can all respect, because that's the type of dude Ice is. He's not going to make... You know, he's not going to tell one side of the story, and he's not going to make anybody look stupid. So, you know, I look forward to seeing it. I look forward to it coming out, and hopefully it's a box office success, and we can go on to do some more things along the lines of executive production and real directing and, you know, going on to the next phase of that industry.
Thank you. Cool.
Ace,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Ace, Ed, what's going on, brothers? This is D Slate, man. How y'all guys doing?
Everything good, man.
Well, first and foremost, man, I want to say, man, it's an absolute honor, man, to have you guys on the show with us. I know we've had Ace on the show with us before, man. We had an incredible interview with Ace before, and it's a definitely pleasure, man, to have you guys back on the show with us again. And my question for you guys is I know you guys have heard about the Chris Brown and Drake situation, and I want to know, starting with Ace, I want to know how do you guys feel about that whole situation in the aspect of where does an artist take responsibility, as well as you know, you always hear some celebs saying, well, I'm not a role model, you know, I'm not in this to be a role model. So what is your take on where artists are supposed to take responsibility for stuff like that?
I mean, yeah. I mean, this kind of stuff has been around for as long as I've been in this industry. Maybe not to the extreme levels that it kind of got to over the last, say, 15 years, but
right.
It was always some type of drama going on. I remember going to a party in Manhattan back in, like, probably 90, 91 or something like that, when Antoinette and MC Light was beefing crazy. And, you know, they was saying that, you know, I think Light had a show, and they were saying Antoinette was about supposed to come up there, and it was going to be problems and all of this. I mean, this is not new. Like, you know, rappers, I mean, it's definitely a lot more pronounced now because of the social media and Twitter and all of this. The stuff that happens, you find out about it immediately now. Like,
right,
but
right.
There was constantly always some stuff going on behind the scenes that, you know, unless you knew the artist involved, you might not know that it even went down.
Right.
But, you know, the internet has allowed us to have more access to the things that happen. So it seems like it's a lot more stuff going on, but this stuff's always been going on. There's always some problems behind the scenes. Always.
Yeah, well, my view of it is, man, it's not really about being a role model. It's about being an intelligent individual. Secondly, you know what I'm saying, if y'all were the woman that chose to be with both of y'all, then y'all need to high five and laugh it off.
That's what
I'm saying.
That's my feeling on that one.
At the end of the day, yeah, that's how I feel about it. I feel like that's that they was put into that situation. That's one of the oldest, you know, things in the book. I mean, countries are probably going to war over some woman. You know, so at the end of the day, y'all need to be more intelligent about what y'all doing, because for one, y'all both millionaires, and it can end real ugly, and it can affect your bottom dollar. You know what I mean? It can affect you being tied up in court, all kind of charges. You could go to jail. Besides losing money, you could go to jail. So at the end of the day, you got to think about things like that when you out there, in, not only in the public but in your private life. Like, I don't see why, you know, y'all beefing over because y'all, you know, I mean, back in the days, put it like this, the thing with the women has not changed. And back in the days, I've, you know, come across some of the same women as other artists. We never got into it over that, you know. It was what it was.
You know, the funny
part. Move on.
Well, you know, the funny part about it is, what I find funny, this is the second time Drake has gotten into it with somebody over a woman.
Well, like I'm saying, you need to be more intelligent about how you maneuver around here, especially having all that money. You know, you're 25 sitting on 25 mil. You better think about that and
right.
not sitting up in jail.
That's real.
Yeah. So
some of this is probably new to him. I mean, he, you know, this is new money. New situations. Guys is being around women that didn't get him a time of day, you know, a few years ago. So sometimes they get caught up in that and get all excited and bent out of
right.
shape. But dudes are young. If I was 23 or whatever, being around these type of women, I'd probably be acting like a fool too.
Maybe, but now, Ace, because I mean, I was a teenager.
After no runner.
You know, I was a teenager running through some things, and it was like, yo, that's such and such girl, that's this, that's that. I wasn't in no position to argue over no chick, because there was,
oh yeah,
you know, half a million more on the line.
I wasn't referring to the fighting part of it, the beefing part, but just in terms of, you know, just running around having a good time at 23 years old with a lot of money.
Right. And then, you know what, another thing I think it's a lot to do with the entourages. Because
yeah.
at the end of the day, I don't think either one of them, as human beings, is going to see each other and start scrapping. I think more or less it's fueled by the entourages and everyone's talking.
Wow.
Everyone's about it. And gassing it up. You know, they probably really
putting the battery in their back.
Exactly. And they probably didn't even lift a finger, but then had to be involved once blows was coming to blows. You know what I mean? So that's important to know, you know, to have control of your entourage, because it's your entourage. They reflect on you. You know, now
yeah.
I saw pictures of, you know, some girl head bust and this and that. Now that goes directly to the artist.
Right.
Yeah, the entourage may be nowhere to be found.
And that's the tragedy of the whole thing, man, because, you know, it's going to be repercussions behind it. You know, right now, it's the, you know, the whole scene is like pass the buck. Oh, I didn't throw no bottles. You know, I've seen a whole bunch of women throwing bottles. And, you know, you got people, you know, just passing the buck back and forth. But at the end of the day, you know, the chick that got laid up, you know, she from Australia. She just came to have a good time,
fun.
Man, and she... Yeah, you know, she got busted
right.
in the head for that, you know. Your security, man, he damn near got scalped. You know, the picture on there, he got a big laceration across his head, man. He got scalped. And you guys
think they not pressing charges, think they not seeking retribution, think they don't want money.
It's coming.
So the whole thing is, when you hire people or when you roll with people, they have to have an understanding of what to do and what definitely not to do. You know what I'm saying? And that reflects on you directly, because if you go in the club with your entourage and they start busting shots or beating people up, it's you directly, the artist, is going to get it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of being able to have that under control.
Well, here's my here's my crazy question. This is my last question, but here's my crazy question for Ace and Ed. Just recently, Oprah did an interview with Kim Kardashian, and she talked about, you know, becoming famous because of a sex tape. And but you know, a lot of people have the whole issue of the fact that she really has no talent in anything, and she's really trying to find herself in this whole entertainment industry. I mean, what do you, how do you guys feel about that?
I think that's just a perfect example of women that have been around, you know, multiple men within the same industry. And, you know, those men ain't fighting over her. You know, she just trying to get on. And it worked, because she's on. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's the same scenario. Like, these dudes should not be at discord with each other because they've been with her, you know, or married to her. I don't know how much time she's been married, but, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It seems as if that's her goal. Her goal is to get married to a famous person. So, you know, that's just a classic example of the same scenario, and that could have turned into something ugly at the same time, because you got these guys with egos and money, and they've all been with her. So, you know, they should have learned from that. You know, like, hey, it happens. You know, it's the oldest game in the book. So don't feed into it and don't perpetuate violence or foolishness, you know, because everybody's watching and you're responsible. At the end of the day,
you know, Larry Fishburne's daughter tried it and it backfired on her.
Well, I didn't get to the pleasure of seeing that, but hey, it don't work for everybody, you know.
So Ace, man, what's next, man? You just touring, man, for the album now, or you know, what's the thing down the pipeline?
Well, the touring for the summer is pretty much like just gonna be spot dates now. I did a run in Canada in March, and I did a run in Europe in May. So it's some spot dates during the summer, but I'm basically looking at maybe another month and a half, and then I start coaching football again. I coach high school football. It's my 11th year doing it. And
congratulations. I had no idea.
Once that gets started, like mid to late August, then I'm pretty much on shutdown for those months until Thanksgiving. And then I'm going to Australia and right after Thanksgiving. Hopefully Australia and Asia.
We gonna get some US tour dates in between all of that?
Yeah, that all depends on these US promoters, because, you know, I don't have a lot of success with too many US promoters. There's always some funny business. There's always some ain't quite right. They always try to put you in Motel Sixes, and you know, money be short. Like, I can't deal with that. And then you get to the spot and it's 12 people there. Like, it's just too much nonsense. But if honestly, I would love to get a nice US run together. I actually did a little 3-4 show string before I went away to Europe. That was pretty good, and I actually kind of restored my faith in U.S. shows, that little run there, because I did Albuquerque, I did Orange County, and then I did big show in L.A., and then I did Vegas, and all those shows were nice, turnouts were nice, promoters were cool, everybody handled their business the way they were supposed to, and, you know, I left there feeling like, okay, Maybe there's some decent shows here in the States left, but Europe and places like that can really spoil you as an artist, because you get used to the spot being packed and, you know, 500 people deep and everybody handling their business and putting you up in nice spots, and you get spoiled with that stuff. But that's what I've kind of become accustomed to, and I expect it all the way across the boards.
What about you, Ed, man? We gonna get some more shows up this way, man.
Yeah, well, I'm doing. Well, see, that's funny that Ace said that, because for me, I've had the opposite experience just in general. Like, I haven't done much of anything overseas my whole career. Like, my whole career has really been U.S. driven. And I think the reason being, maybe just the people, the booking agencies, the people that's doing the tours and the runs, they've never brought me anything that have been attractive. Like, you know, I've got an offer for maybe like one show in Germany or one show here, but I've never got a string of shows that, you know, that has been attractive enough for me to even go overseas. I mean, my thing is, if I could do, you know, those, if I could do the shows here for the same money and be close to home, you know, that's what I do. Honestly, if I could just go across the street from my house and do a show, that would be the best thing for me. But at the end of the day, I'm interested to know, you know, if it's really popping like that overseas, because I've been here all my life doing this and not really had the opportunity to go abroad with it like that, just because, you know, I've been doing the same thing here. So for me, it's kind of like, well, why am I going to, you know, do all of that, especially with my family and my kids and stuff here? So it's like it has to be a reason, a very attractive reason for me to do it.
Oh, it's really it's really popping like that, and it's a different world.
Well, we definitely need to talk about that then.
Yeah, that's what I was just getting ready to say.
Yeah,
Ed, you need to get him on down there to Charlotte to one of them old school shows, and then Asia, y'all need to go to tour all together overseas, man. Like over there. Get him down to Charlotte.
There's a lot of artists that I know go over there. Like you said, I think Kane is over there now, Redman, and, you know, it's a bunch of artists that tour overseas all the time. And for me, I keep saying, like, okay, well, what's up? Where's all of this going on at, you know? And I'm constantly getting offers, domestic offers, you know. I'm constantly here and the usual spots. And they rotate, you know. They come around every year, and it keeps me working, you know, so all over the country. So I'm happy for that. But at the same time, I think that, you know, I do need to, you know, step out and see other countries and see what type of love they got for me out there, because I really don't know, you know, be honest. I really don't know. I know some artists are very successful overseas, but I've never had that opportunity. I probably went to Amsterdam and, you know, just because I wanted to go to Amsterdam to experience the whole Amsterdam, you know, stuff, you know what I mean? And that was funny, you know what I mean? I felt like, I don't know, it was funny. But one thing I do know is a lot of it's a lot of healthy people over there. And when I say healthy, I mean as far as what we're supposed to be. I didn't see a lot of obesity. I didn't see a lot of fast food.
It's actually noticeable.
Right.
You know, because I was flying back from Europe, and I had a layover in Dallas or Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching, as I was waiting for my flight in Europe, I'm watching different people walk by. And it was like, I had to like search to find somebody with their gut hanging over their belt.
Right.
and then when I got back to Texas, at the airport, almost every man and woman that walked
right
by had a stomach hanging over their belt.
That was probably one of the most noticeable things that I noticed from even going overseas. It's like, I was like, oh no, it's all the big people.
It was very rare.
Yeah. So we gotta pay attention to that too, as a culture, as a people, and in this country, and see what's going wrong. Like, what's going on? Why are we being led down this, you know, path? But yeah, that's a whole nother show.
Yeah. Hold on, we got another caller. Hold on one sec, please. Nigel Head Radio, who's calling?
Sally.
Hey, what's up, Sally? How you feeling?
Hello, darling. I have some questions.
Go ahead.
Well, first I want to know, who is your favorite? This is directed to Special Ed. Who is your favorite artist today? Your favorite rap artist today? If you say Nicki Minaj, I'm hanging up. Second, I would like to know, what do you think of rap music today? Like, is it depressing? Is it hopeful? Are you happy with where it is? I mean, overall.
Overall, I think it's my biggest thing is I think it's lucrative. I think it's more lucrative than it has ever been in that aspect. I think it provides for families, children, other people. It's a whole industry out here, and you don't have to be the star to get paid. There's a lot of ways to get paid in this industry, so that part I like. As far as the culture, I think it's being misrepresented to some degree, and it's strayed far from where we began. But that's a part of evolution and change. You know, it's just like we were coming up and hip-hop came out, and it was like, oh, these kids are crazy, they're rebels, this, that, and the third. We have to be accepting of change to some degree, other than when it's a detriment to your culture or your people. So we have to kind of clear some things up real quick. And as far as the misconceptions about rap and the people and the culture, and once we're clear, I don't care where it goes artistically, because everyone has a right to express themselves artistically. So whether you rap like Ace or you rap like me or you rap like Lil Jon, there's a market for you. You know, there's people that want to hear that. And if they want to hear it, then, you know, by all means, feel free. It's all about change and evolution. So, you know, I'm cool with it to a degree, but when they force feed you the same thing and they force feed you their idea of what it should be, that's when we have a problem, because there still needs to be Master Aces, there still needs to be Special Eds and so on and so on. So everyone has their lane, and there still needs to be a lane there for us. They can't close all the lanes and say, okay, we only racing on this one lane. Everybody go down this track. That's not how it works. So, well, we can clarify that and then, you know, get away from this pushing of drugs, alcohol, and sexual, explicit homosexuality and all kind of shit, then I think that we can grow as a culture and start to heal ourselves, because we was doing well. And then, you know, the majors took over and started perpetuating, you know, the negative imagery and the negative associations with our culture. So I think that we just need to clarify that. They need to pull up their damn pants, you know, and they just need to walk straight and start, you know, showing people that we have a head on our shoulders, and it's not just a mouth full of gold teeth. You know what I'm saying? That's what we
did
need to do.
Did you see that letter supposedly written by a rapper who was, like, confessing that there was this meeting where these rappers were basically told, you know, we need you to start rapping about killing and this and that because the people in
our company.
Well,
I don't care about no letter. I don't care about no letter. I don't care about no meeting. It's bigger than that. We have a whole, we have mouthpieces, we have media, we have forums with which to express ourselves. So I can't blame no meeting and no one organization or company or group. I don't believe in that. I believe it's bigger. We are bigger than that, and we can change that. We have a lot of, you know, multimillionaires, people with their own media, you know, people that can make a difference, and that's who we need to put some responsibility on the shoulders of some of those people, because they're the ones that's, you know, feeding this imagery and this stuff to our youth. And that's all I'm saying. It's just about the youth. I mean, you can teach an old dog new tricks, but at the end of the day, if you're old enough to make decisions for yourself, then we're not talking to you. I'm talking to the kids that are impressionable and that we can mold and change and make a future. You know what I'm saying? I think that we need to be able to speak intelligently outside of, you know, a record. We need to be able, I don't care what you say on your record. I care what you say off your record. I care what you say when you're on the telephone with a radio station or you being interviewed. I care what image you put out to your youth. What you saying to these kids, you know, that's why I was impressed and glad to hear that Ace is coaching football. That's admirable. He has a position where he can change the youth. He can change their direction. You know, some of those youth could have
possibly been going in the wrong direction, but Ace himself has a hand in, you know, changing the direction of people that may be misguided. So I applaud him for what he's doing. You know, even as people may not look at it like that, but I do, you know. Ace can change lives with what he's doing, and I respect that. And other artists need to do things that can have the same effect on our youth. Because that's all it's about. I mean, end of the day, the old people that are doing foolishness, they have a certain amount of lifespan left. But you got the future and future generations to consider. You know, you're going to have a world out here with your kids living and growing, and they need to be respected, and they need to have a fair shot at life. Yeah. So I think that we need to speak up as adults. You know, we do have responsibility, not because we're artists, but because we're adults, you know?
Okay.
So,
that's
yeah.
A good answer.
Yeah.
Did you ever say what your favorite artist was right now, Ed?
Was that the question?
Well,
I ain't really got one, man. I ain't really got one. You know what I feel like? I feel like this with every artist. Every artist has those records that are hits and those records that define them as artists, and that's the reason why they have the popularity. It's not just because their uncle owned a record label. It's because they made a good song. So at the end of the day, most artists at least have a song that I like. You know what I mean? And it won't be the whole album sometime because they don't just make albums like that anymore. But, you know, they make good songs. You know, I can't sit here and name, you know, without leaving out probably artists that may have better records, but, you know, I like a lot of records, you know. And some of them are different, you know, some of them. And I've been in the South. I lived in L.A. I lived in Miami. I'm in Charlotte now, and they each have different markets, you know, unique sounds. And I just respect it all. You know, I respect all genres of hip-hop because at the end of the day, they do have good music. And it's not all good, but they at least have the music that made them popular, the music that everyone can say, yo, that's a nice beat, or that's a nice hook, or that's a nice rhyme. You know, so I respect the artist, period, you know. But I don't have a favorite, nah. I don't.
Hmm.
What's your take on that, Ace?
Say again?
Huh?
What's your take on that, Ace? How you feel about that?
As far as who I like right now, you mean?
No, the industry and who you like, you know. It ain't got to be about who you like, just about the industry, period, man. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's so incredibly different than it used to be. I mean, it's like it's almost like a different business than it was. I mean, there's still music being made. There's still records being sold to some degree. There's still major labels, though there's a lot less. There are almost no record stores left. It's like, you know, Tower Records is gone. I couldn't imagine Tower Records not existing back when Tower Records was out. So, you know, it's just a completely different business. The internet has totally taken charge. Is much more in control of this music. Everything breaks on the internet. Everything gets leaked. You know, my new record got leaked so far in advance. It's like ridiculous. As soon as it went to the plant, it was on the internet. And it's just no controlling that. As an artist, you have to understand that it's really less about the units that you sell, and it's really more about putting out records that people like so that you can tour and sell merch at shows. And, you know, that's why the record labels are dying, because the fans are going to still get the music whether they buy it in the store or not. And or whether they download it off iTunes or not, they're going to get the music. The day that my record came out on the internet, within 12 hours of the record coming out, it was 300 downloads on this one site. So that's the degree, you know, that people are trying to get music, get their hands on music for free. And it just is what it is, you know. Maybe some of it is my fault for creating the anticipation, and I've been talking about the record for over a year. So people was just like, okay, enough is enough.
Well,
it's out there, I'm going to get it, because I've been hearing about it for so long. But that's what you have to do, you know. And as artists, we have to use the internet to our advantage. As much as the internet is fighting against us and we're losing money, we have to still use the internet to promote our products, to promote what we're doing. And, you know, I'm glad that I discovered Twitter 2.5-3 years ago when I did, because if I hadn't, I wouldn't have the connection that I do now, direct connection with the fans the way I do. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to get instant feedback from the people that buy your records.
Yeah.
Well, with that being said, I myself, like I said, I would love for you two brothers to collaborate and, you know, make some moves, like I say, get it overseas, and, you know, you do some more tour dates if you can, you know, here in the States, man. And I do have, like, your contact information. I do got some, you know, bumping around in my mind as far as, like, you guys coming up here to Chicago and doing the show. I got the perfect promoter for you both, and he's done exceedingly well up here, you know, with a couple of shows. Well, I'll chop that up with you guys later. But I have to say this has been a very, very great show as far as with you two gentlemen on here and just giving us history, you know, like the background and you know, some of that stuff that was going on with, you know, the Crooklyn Dodgers, you know, how that was going to be a possible album, you know. And I'm very happy to have you both. I'm honored to have you both on the show, and I'm looking forward to having you both on again sometime in the future. With that being said, how can our fans locate Special Ed and Master Ace online? I'm Twitter, you know, throw them out
Twitter.
There.
Yeah, my Twitter is real simple. It's at Master Ace, MasterAce.
And mine is at Special Ed. Just spelled like Special Ed, and you know, that's it. And I got my website, specialedmusic.com, and you can pretty much find me through Special Ed Music on Facebook, everywhere, anywhere that I did the online thing. But you know, that's it. Holla at me, y'all need anything, and Ace will be talking real soon. And you know, it's been a pleasure.
Derek,
go ahead,
son. Are you
going to
play the song?
What's that? We'll get on to it. I'm going to play it.
Because I would like him to hear it.
Okay, yeah, we'll throw it on there. Hold on, let me refresh real quick. Yeah, let me go and let you guys hear this woman's song. And I actually want to hear it myself. And,
you didn't
listen to it? This ain't Derek. This is a logical one right here. But I didn't get a chance to listen to it. D heard it, but I didn't get a chance to. So we're going to pause it for a second. We're going to pay some bills, and we're going to play Celly Black, My Everything. And
I'm done, too. I got it made.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice.
So
we're
going to pause
it
out, and we're going to go through this right here. So we'll be back. Here we go.
Standing next to you, you make me wanna touch the rest of you. I know you know it too. what you waiting on?
And we are back. And we just heard Selly Black's joint. What you think, Ed?
I like that. It's slick, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that. I'm interested to see what you're looking like. But is there a video for that?
I'm actually going to go to LA to shoot the video in about 3 weeks.
All right.
So.
Well, definitely. You know, I'm on Twitter at Special Ed. Holla at me.
You're following me.
I am. Oh,
yes.
Cool.
And I sent you a message because some of your people was like, yo, you got to hear this. I won't mention who on air, but some people that you know from, I guess, an old neighborhood told me to reach out to you. So I did.
Okay, well, I'm pleased at the outcome, and I support it. I like that.
Thank you. So reach out to me on Twitter or, you know, like my page or just reach out to me on Twitter. Check your inbox.
Okay, I will do. I appreciate the love, like I said, and, you know, it's good to be able to spread the word and spread some love. So, you know, with that being said, I appreciate the opportunity, and we're here. And, you know, love and respect to all y'all. For doing
what
you're doing.
I appreciate that, man. And you are more than welcome. Like I said, I'm going to politic with you and Ace about that, you know, show up here in Chicago, man. I got your info here. I'm assuming this is your math here on the screen. So,
okay, cool.
I politic with y'all about that. All right, man. Thanks for coming out, man.
Not a problem.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys,
too.
So much.
All right.
You're welcome.
To all the listeners out there.
And that was my man, Special Ed. We lost Ace during the performance, but you know, it's tight, man. She had some skills on there. We lost Amber too on there, but it is what it is. The show's winding down. We got 17 minutes left in the show. We had a very interesting show going on. What you think, Red?
Yeah, I think it was very eventful and informative. I will say. And entertaining.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I hope everybody else did too.
Yeah, I mean this is an archive show right here, and they're only gonna get better. You know, as we go down the line, you know, I'm a little mellow today. Normally I'm a jerk, but today I'm a little bit mellow. But
okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Day, man. I hate that we lost Ace because I wanted to play his joint as well, and I think I will. This is off the new Son of Yvonne joint. If you guys got a chance, man, don't just download the shit, man. Go out there and purchase this stuff, too, because these guys put a lot of work behind their music, you know. It's, you know, same thing, you know. Selly had a hot joint right there, and, you know, support these people, man, because they out here trying to do, you know, what they can, man, you know. And I highly doubt, you know, any of the people that we had on the show tonight are going to be throwing bottles at each other anytime soon. And, you know.
Oh, that's right.
You know, I mean, you know, this is what we all about here at the D-Hour Show, a.k.a. Nod Your Head Wednesdays, you know, and this is what you're going to hear. So without further ado, I'm going to go on to play a couple of little joints that I got. I've been holding back playing some of these. I probably played one or two new joints I got in the pipeline, and I'm going to hit you with this Master A Slow Down, and, you know, go out there and buy this brother's stuff, man. Same thing with Special Ed, man. You see some of his art out there, his music, you know, hit up iTunes or whatever, you know. Support that brother, man. I mean, both of them guys are icons and legends, man, as far as I'm concerned, and they deserve, you know, your support on that. And I ain't, you know, playing no violin on that either, man. These cats, man, they done been there, you know. So I'm going to hit this joint right quick, and we'll be back. Here we go. Master A, Slow Down.
Party animal, back at the telly now. Katie and her best friend, turn up the telly now. Friend got big boobs, Katie got thick thighs. Put them both together and what a nice chick prize. Looking in some sick eyes, light green, nice scene. Katie ass busting out the seams on them tight jeans.
Hey, Katie. Hey, look. God. Yep.
I alcohol flowing now, about to get sink face. Katie say, here, Ace, tell me how this drink tastes. Not bad, what's this? Sex on the beach, yo? Friend pulls out a boob, that's what I reach for. Now I'm in the party mood, take a couple more swigs. Clothes start coming off, I'm about to score big. Katie start kissing and feeling on the girlfriend. That's when the room starts spinning like a whirlwind. Feel like I'm an earl then, I fall face down. Not cool, dude, I'm new from the waist down. Look up, drooling, I feel like an asshole. Katie got my wallet in her hand, it's my cash flow. Can't move a muscle now, somebody save me. This shit crazy, wonder what they gave me. Slow down, don't think you really can. Go down, it happens every day. It's a 30 game, are you sure you wanna play? Finally got your money up, you sure you wanna pay? Slow down, don't think you really can. Go down, it happens every day. Wake up at the hospital, guess I just came to. First I see Mr. C, then I see Kane too. Then I see JC, Scoob lover scrapping. All of them looking like, Ace, what happened? Usually my mind be sharp at the thumbtack. Maybe if I take a minute, everything will come back. I know, I was with these two chicks, sipping on a few licks. Everything was humming right along like a new six. Next thing I know, I'm laying on the floor, and it feel like they hit me in the head with a few bricks. Then the room just really started to spin bad. Then I knew this night was going in bad. When they found all the money in my gym bag, that's when I realized that I've been had. They took the cash and both of them dashed out. After that, not sure, must have passed out. God damn, how stupid could I be? Nurse, what's that you putting in my IV? Don't worry, it's gonna help you rest there. See your lips moving, but a voice sound less clear. Slow down, don't think you really can. Go down, it happens every day. It's a dirty game, are you sure you wanna play? Finally got your money up, you sure you wanna pay? Hey, slow down, don't think you really can. Go down, it happens every day. The moral of the tale, don't trust a cute face and a thin waist, cause they all go to jail. Rappers going tour, and many going score with a whore, that's for sure, but there's more going fail. Think with your dicks, then add liquor to the mix, you could end up in the morgue on the scale. These girls ruthless, worse than the guys be. Act like they want your pudding pop, Bill Cosby. Weighing in the lobby with a little slick plan. Get up to the room and try and make a quick grand. Or maybe 6 grand if you leave your chains out. Her main thing is to bang your brains out. When you exhausted, laying with your clothes off, she gonna wait till your stupid ass doze off.
Everybody biz? Everybody down there?
Yes, everybody is in the lobby except Master Ace, man.
Oh, shit.
Too many of them long hot summers been on you, man. You better get it together, man.
Oh, man. All right, man. I apologize. I'm getting dressed now. I'm going to be down there as soon as I can, man. We're not going to miss this flight, I promise. All right,
well, hurry up, man. All
right.
Listen, a life in rap's like a knife in the back. This life attracts some of the trifest cats. Niggas getting deals with pipes and bats. If that don't work, then they strike with gas. I know a few dudes got label deals, cause their crew packs feel like Navy SEALs. And I ain't too smooth or too cool to mention. I done ran up in the label with cruel intentions. Listen, a label guy's like a bitch in disguise. He just trying to stay alive. See the twitch in his eyes? A punch and slap put his lunch in his lap. And a kick to the gutter put a hunch in his back. No teeth and gummy, and now we talk funny. But he set the sign off on that tour support money. This nation's built on violent intimidation. Turn cast to hospital patients, they more gracious.
No promotion, make him float in the ocean. Your album about to flop and he ain't showing emotion. He having a good time with a bunch of his friends. Let him find his dog dead in the trunk of his van. If he ignored your memo and the issues on it, give his ass a bullet with his initials on it. You want a big advance, don't tell him twice. Hang his ass out the window like Vanilla Ice. See, cats get the message when they life on the line, or when you call from the crib with their wife on the line. This country of ours was built on violence. If your ass got in the way, you was killed in silence. And these been the ways since back in the days. Just ask the Indians or the African slaves. So before you pick a logo and choose a name, first you gotta learn the ways of the music game. Yep.
I need to talk to you right now about my royalties.
My office hours?
From 9 to 5. Fuck your office hours. I need to talk to you right now, motherfucker.
These are the ways, the ways, the ways, the ways. This is how you gotta get down these days. You wanna get paid, just remember the phrase. These are the ways, the ways, the ways, the ways.
Think what I'm saying is a bunch of bull. Run up to the label now and punch it full. And watch niggas panic and start to run frantic. This goes for Warner, Elektra, and Atlantic. And any other major on the map. Or A&R Cat who turned his back after he made you wanna rap. See if you can find out a face or name, so you know when you roll who to place the blame. But Keith Murray ain't need investigators. He fucked niggas up, ask questions later. And Diddy had a problem with Stevie Stout. Got a Chris Stout bottle, knock Stevie out. Damn, he even whip a nigga ass in style. When Suge hear this record, man, he has to smile. And Def Jam reps wearing vests to work, cause they don't want their ribs and their chest to hurt. If I work for them dudes, man, you won't see me. When Rockefeller fall out with ODB, that be a day that I'ma call out sick. Cause niggas cool first and they fall out quick. Keep on thinking that it's only rap. You'll be a broke ass nigga and a lonely cat. So before you get played out and lose your fame, first you gotta learn the ways of the music game. Yes.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm talking about the cars and the clothes. And I got an even longer list of expenses. Studio time, promotions, your expense account. You trying to muscle me?
These are the ways, the ways, the ways, the ways. This is how you gotta get down these days. You wanna get paid, just remember the phrase. These are the ways, the ways, the ways, the ways.
Yo, and we back. 6 minutes left in the show. Got Red on the horn with me.
We in here. Yeah,
we look, we lost Amber. I don't know what happened with her. She got it in and then she bounced. She's like, I talked to Special Ed, I'm gone now. I can go do what I do. So. But yeah, that's our show for tonight. Man, that was a hot show. I've enjoyed that show, man. I hate that Ace dipped out, man, but you know, cats got shit to do, you know. And you know, it is what it is. What you think, Red?
It is what it is. And it was a good one. And now it's time to say goodbye to all
right.
Our little friends.
Uh-huh. Like, man. So I don't know what we got going on tomorrow. D bounced out of here too. I'm sure he'll be posting it up on Facebook, Twitter, Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
And you know, you'll find out what's going on throughout the week. As for myself and Red and Amber, mm-hmm. we will be back on Wednesday. You might hear Red sooner than you hear me, but I'll be back on Wednesday for Cheesy. And that's so played out, but yeah, so yeah, I'll be back. And like I said, man, you know, go on and support these cats, man. I understand, you know, people thirsty for the music and everything. And, man, hit these cats up and buy their stuff, man. You know, it's like I said, this ain't a plea for amnesty and all that crap, man. You know, like, you know, they ain't hurting, man. You know, these cats are still touring. They still doing their thing. And they put on a hell of a shows, man. You know, I wanted to ask Ace if he still played Madden, man. I'd have to get online, man, on the new Madden to see if we could, you know, go to war. On there, I know he used to be like the Madden King at one point. I don't know if he's still the Madden King, you know. I ain't gonna put no salt on
Your challenge.
Oh. Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna see if I can let him on that, you know. When he rocking with PS3, Xbox, you know, I have to catch up with him. But Yeah, man, this is a good show. I enjoy it. This is entertaining, just like the Two Live Crew show. If you guys didn't hear that one, man, them cats.
Yeah, that
man,
was
crazy.
That
was crazy. So, and this is how it is on Najee Head Wednesday. So if you missed out, there is a replay of the show, so you can listen in later on after the show is done and, you know, listen to the telecast again. And, you know, it is what it is, you know. That's pretty much all I got, man. You know, like I say, like, you know, you artists, be true to your game, man. Don't, you know, once you get put on, man, you know, yeah, you're going to meet some stars, you're going to meet some females, you're going to meet some, you know, whatever, you know. Don't be no fool, man, because the same way you got it, the same way you could, you know, lose it, you know. Yeah. It's hard. And the industry ain't no money. You know, the industry is a lot lax compared to what it was years ago. Some of you cats got it lucky, you know, with the social networks and stuff like that, because, you know, Ed, Master Ace, a whole slew of other MCs, notable MCs, they didn't have that. So cherish what you got, man,
nope.
Because when it's done, it's done. When your 15
mm-hmm.
minutes is up, it's up. So, you know, you going out here making more problems. Biggie said it best, more money, more problems, man, busting cats in the head with bottles and shit. You know, it's going to be repercussions from that, man, no matter how much y'all pass the buck around, man. There's going to be some repercussions, Jack, and it's going to be some lawsuits. So, you know, stay focused.
And wait, that's what the paperwork is.
Oh, it's coming, man. You know, they passing the buck right now, you know, according to the web, allhiphop.com, my man Weezy, he trying to put the ultimatum out to Drake, man. He need to squash this beef with Chris Brown, man, you know. And for them, it's all about the paper, man, which is understandable, man. You know, Weezy got some tracks with Brown on there, man, you know. So it's all about the paper at the end of the day. It's all about their money, man. You know, y'all fighting over a chick, man. It's fuck that. There's too many other females out there to go to jail for one, dog. You know, and if I'm inclined to go with Ed, man. If y'all all tapped at the same, you know, time, well, at the same time, but, you know, if all of y'all tapped it, you know, flat fives or whatever, man, and keep it moving, man.
Keep moving, right.
You know, on to the next, man. Make your paper, because there's a lot of niggas that made paper, man, that's in jail, man, wishing they could be where y'all at right now. You know, y'all straight acting foolish, man, but it's going to be repercussions behind that, pimp. Seriously. So, and like Ed told it right, man, my man, He been around for a long time, man. That man hit 40. So I'm like, wow, you know, I hit that same, you know, epic milestone, man. 40 years old, man, and to look at these cats and meet these cats now, man, and hear these stories, it is what it is. You can hear this every Wednesday, man, depending on who we got. So with that, we're going to say goodbye. Reg, you got anything you want to say?
Have a good night. Catch you next time.
Oh, and we got CC Peniston coming on tomorrow. That's on the D-Hour show, man. I love me some CC Peniston. That's a fine-ass woman right there, boy. She
finally
can get it. That's what I be saying, too, boy, if ever give it a chance. Finally it happened.
I see her live. Ooh, that's a good show,
right,
too.
I'm going to say that's live for real. But we're going to slide on up out of here. Have a good night, people, and see y'all tomorrow on the D-Hour show. Well, you won't see me, but you will hear D. So I'll holler at you. Peace out.
Peace.
See you next Wednesday. Najee Head Hour. We gone.
Tell me who the hottest in the town. Reaching your location, even places not around. Travel through your airways, stimulate your intellect, and you ain't even know. It's broadcasted from the internet, giving you what you want, showing love to the hood, even to the birds. So yeah, it's all good. No, they ain't like other stations, following the trend. And 10 minutes later, the same song again. It's the D-Hour show, yeah, I said it so you know. Coming first in any challenge, on your mark, set, go. If you're ready, let's roll. Let's hop aboard the starship. The hottest station, showing love to underground artists. Yeah.